When we turn to Jesus, we don't turn to serve ourselves or to fix our lives. We turn, and when he changes our hearts, not someone telling us all about it, but he changes our hearts, then we have a desire, Lord God, what do you want? I'm so thankful for you saving me. What do you want? And see, maybe some of you have never truly been saved. That's why you're not truly thankful, and that's why you've never served the Lord.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, your topic today is one that everyone needs to hear.
Yes, it is, Dave, so let's get right to it. Our passage is Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, what's interesting here in our translations, we have the term if. If you look at that, he says, but even if I'm being poured out. And in Greek, there are different clauses. They're if statements, and if the if statement's with a certain type of verb, it's if and maybe, or if and possibly, whatever it might be. Here it's if, and yes, it is true. Some translations will translate it since. Since I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of your service of faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Now you say, wait a second, I know the Bible here, and I know this drink offering, that's probably speaking of his death, right? This is 62 A.D., and yet he didn't die till after 64-ish A.D. We know around 64 A.D., I know that he talks about his being poured out later on in 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is at the end of Paul's life, a couple years later than this letter here. And he says in chapter 4, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. It's like at that final part of the drink offering. It's being poured, poured, poured. It's all done, and poof, the offering is done. Fragrant aroma. He's saying, that's my life. It's about done. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Here in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he is speaking of his impending death, that it's about to be done. The glass is about to be completely poured out. So the Apostle Paul is speaking of that here. But back in our passage was a couple years earlier. So was Paul thinking he would die immediately? Well, we see earlier in the passage, he did mention that he was going to go before Caesar, basically implied that. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it would be much better to go with Christ, chapter 1. The implication is the possibility of Caesar killing him back at this point was possible. But remember, Paul had some insight from the Lord that he wasn't going to die yet. Not as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look back in Philippians chapter 1, and I want to read for you. Philippians 1 verse 19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything. This is the middle of verse 20. But that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. See, he sold out for Christ. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And notice what he says in verse 25. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. He's saying, although I'm about at the point of death, inspired by the Spirit, he doesn't believe he's going to die yet. So what's this drink offering then if it doesn't speak of his death? Well, certainly, I believe it speaks of the idea of the sacrifice and the unity in which the Philippian service and Paul's service are together. It certainly is speaking he's towards the end, but it's not completely poured out. He's saying, I'm being poured out. He knew he wasn't going to die yet, and when he was going to die, he said, this is it. Now it's happening in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So what is he saying? He's not going to die right away, but he uses this term drink offering. our passage helps us understand it. Back to our passage, chapter 2, verse 17. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. He likens the Philippians to the real sacrifice, that burnt offering, and his as that finishing touch. That's the point here. What Paul is doing is a finishing touch to what the Philippians are doing. They're the ones doing the ministry, the overseers and the deacons, the saints at Philippi. Paul had equipped them and they were ministering, they were serving Christ, and they were suffering, they were sacrificing and serving. And his interaction with them in a humble way, he sees it just as that finishing touch. Very humble from the Apostle Paul. He doesn't say, hey, I did it all, you're all because of me, does he? He doesn't say that at all. I'm the finishing touch on your sacrifice and your service of faith. So with that in mind, let's take a look at this idea of sacrifice and service, because Paul certainly sacrificed and he certainly served, and the Philippians were certainly doing that, weren't they? And Paul obediently served Christ and his body, the body of Christ. You see, Paul had a lot to give up from the world standpoint before he came to Christ. Saul, the Pharisee, he had a lot to give up. If you look at chapter 3 of Philippians, turn to chapter 3. He had a lot of stuff. I mean, he was quite a guy as a Pharisee in a sense. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of influence. And you know what comes with power and influence? Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. He says, although I might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Hey, I got all these credentials. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Knowing the real God of the universe, having a relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ, growing in that relationship in which sin and our own pride inhibits. He says, more than all that stuff, I count it all as rubbish. But whatever things were gained to me, he says, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, resurrection power, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, or complete, or mature, you could say, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Paul was sold out for Jesus Christ. And you see, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are immediately sold out. It's our sin that gets back in the way, or we don't grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Paul gave up everything to serve Christ, but that giving up was not a phony baloney giving up to look spiritual. It was a giving it up to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in that relationship, to grow in that knowledge. You see, when Jesus calls us out of our sinful state into a relationship with him, it is one in which we are called to serve, as we will say. The Thessalonians knew that, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves report how, what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul understood we were saved to serve the living God, a good master, one who died for us and gave his life for us and loves us and is the source of true joy. He understood that joy is only found in the Lord, as we're going to see. He understood that, and he gave his life to Christ willingly, and Christ took it and changed him. We see that change happen on the road to Damascus in Acts 26, where it's recounted. I'm not going to read that, but you see Jesus comes and addresses Saul. And he calls Saul out of darkness into light, and he calls him to do the same, to share the message that people would be delivered from darkness to light. He commissioned him right there to serve him on the first day of his salvation. When we turn to Jesus, we don't turn to serve ourselves or to fix our lives. We turn, and when he changes our hearts, not someone telling us all about it, but he changes our hearts, then we have a desire, Lord God, what do you want? I'm so thankful for you saving me. What do you want? And see, maybe some of you have never truly been saved. That's why you're not truly thankful, and that's why you've never served the Lord. And I pray that you would. I pray you would be saved, and you would turn. You see, the Apostle Paul recognized that his life was no longer important, but it's Christ that was important. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I live by faith in the God who gave himself for me, who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. Turn to Acts chapter 20. We see the mindset of someone who's come to faith and is living a life poured out, spent for Christ. Acts chapter 20, it's right after the Gospels. Acts 20, the Apostle Paul was given information by the Spirit of God that suffering and bonds and afflictions await. And he could have made a choice there. Do I want to save my skin or not? And we see his attitude. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. And now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account dear to myself. There's the key. In order that I might finish my course and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the grace of God. We have each been given ministries, in a sense. We've each been given tasks to do in Scripture. We'll see that. We are to, as we come to Christ, offer ourselves up as sacrifices. You see, Paul says, you Philippians, you have your sacrifice and your service, as we're going to see, of faith. And I'm the topping on that. The sacrifice is offering yourself up. The service is actually doing something, as we'll see. We'll see. Turn to Romans chapter 12. In the book of Romans, Paul makes a great case for the gospel throughout the book of Romans. Man's problem is sin. All are under sin. The solution, justification by faith, being justified, which brings life. And then he gives some examples, and he has an interlude. What about Israel? And then he moves into the first application of the truth of the gospel in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Notice what he says. He says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, hey, you can't do it, you need his mercy, right? To present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present yourself to God. You're that sacrifice on the altar. Present yourself to God. You're the sacrifice. Paul understood that we believers are sacrifices, but sacrifices need to be offered. They need to be offered up. And that's the problem at times. We're not offering ourselves to God. We're offering ourselves to sin. We're not yielding our lives. We are jumping off the altar. But it's only when we yield our lives and offer ourselves willingly, God changes our hearts. And he enables us to do those things, and he gives us true joy. When you are truly yielded to Christ, you're truly doing his will, no matter what's going on, there is joy. We've been saved to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ, 1 Peter chapter 2. And indeed, as we offer ourselves up, it's not simply a symbolic mindset in my head, I'm putting myself on the altar. There are actions involved. I'm allowing God's will to change my heart. And I'm acting upon that. Let me give you an example of that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. After talking about forgiving one another and having a right heart towards one another in the body of Christ, he says this. Paul says this, Ephesians chapter 5. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. Mimic God as beloved children. And what? Walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. You see, when you walk in love, you allow God's word to change your heart towards one another. That's a sacrifice to God. You're offering yourself up to him to do his will rather than your will. My will is I'm mad at you because you said something I didn't like. So I grumble and complain. His will is to forgive you and love you. And he enables you to do that. And I offer myself up to him. Change my heart and mind by his word. I think like Christ and walk in love. You see, we need to be offering ourselves as sacrifices all the time in regards to obeying the word of God in relationship to one another. And it is a sacrifice. You've got to die to yourself. Self has to die. That thing needs to be burned up completely, because if it isn't, you're not going to offer yourself, all right? We need to offer ourselves up. And when it is spirit-empowered and led by faith, it is a fragrant aroma, just like Christ's. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you thought of your personal obedience when you trust the Lord as an offering to the Lord, as a sacrifice? When's the last time you thought of that? Doing his will, being obedient to him as a sacrifice to the Lord. Sometimes there's not many sacrifices going on, is there? But the Lord wants us to continually offer ourselves as living sacrifices, acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. But not only was Paul a sacrifice, not only were the Philippians and their actions a sacrifice, they also served. They did sacred service. We serve and perform service. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. The Apostle Paul is a good example of this. He understood his gifting and he served God within that gifting. He served the Lord. Now I offer myself every day, Lord, I want to do your will. But there are things that we do within that as we serve the Lord officially in a sense from his eyes. Maybe not from others. Notice what Paul says. Romans 15:15. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God. And what was that grace that God gave him to do? To be a minister of Christ Jesus. Now that word we're going to see was where we get our word liturgy. It speaks of sacred service. To perform sacred service for Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest of the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. God's called me to preach, Paul saying that's his gifting as an apostle, to preach the word of God to the Gentiles. And that was this wonderful sacrifice, this ministry, the sacred ministry. And each one of us has been given a gift. Each one of us has a sacred ministry before the Lord. It's not simply your offering every day. It's what God has gifted you to do in the body of Christ. And he shares that in his word. Now the word back in our passage where we see that he is an offering on top of the sacrifice and then their service. That's our word, liturgo. It basically speaks of sacred service. Paul was sold out to serve Christ and so were the Philippians. And Paul, inspired by the Spirit, understood that our serving, not only do we offer a sacrifice, but we minister as servants. We minister as servants. We need a right mindset. We're serving God. Just like those priests ministered in the Old Testament. They did what God said. We do what God says in regards to the body of Christ. In regards to offering ourselves as sacrifices. You see, Paul understood what his calling was. And he saw it as sacred service. So here in our passage, he relays what's going on back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But even if, or since I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. So we see here the Apostle Paul is ministering with the Philippians. He wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian. He saw his sacrifice, his being poured out in conjunction with their sacrifice and service. There was a unity and union of the serving within the Philippians. They served together. He wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian or missionary. He served in the context of the body of Christ. We talk about Paul's missionary journeys. He served in the body of Christ and with the body of Christ as he went. Notice back in chapter 1, verse 7. Notice what he says. Both in my imprisonment and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. What about chapter 1, verse 30? Experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. What about chapter 2, 25? He speaks of Epaphroditus, the one that the Philippians sent to help him. Okay? But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. They worked together. They ministered together. They ministered to each other. What about the two ladies who had a little conflict in chapter 4, verse 3? Take a look at that. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. They didn't share their struggle in the cause of life, in the cause of the calling of the gospel, the word getting out and life's being changed through Jesus Christ. They shared a struggle together with Clement and also and the rest of my what? Fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I'm just the pouring out on the top. This is the same sacrifice. We're doing this together. But it's your sacrifice and service unto the Lord. And I'm just the top part of that, that last bit. What about in the end of the book? We see Paul shares his affection for the Philippians. Look at verse 14 in chapter 4. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. They shared finances. They served him financially. And you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which it increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance and am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. They sacrificed in serving him. They sacrificed in providing for him. They were sacrificing together for the cause of the gospel. Paul was not a Lone Ranger Christian. They ministered together. So back in our chapter, notice he says back in chapter 2, verse 17, since I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Paul had a life that was poured out. He did God's will in the context of sacrifice and serving Christ. And he did it with other believers. Are you doing that? Do you have a life well spent? Are you doing that? You see, we have rebels in the church these days, not offering themselves to Christ, but offering themselves to sin, not serving in the context of what God has called them to do. Now, God's the one that sees that mainly. We're not pointing people out. But Paul wasn't that way. He wasn't that way. You see, each one of us has received gifts. We're all to offer ourselves up, and it's a sacrifice. And someday, I pray that when it gets to the end, it'll be like that cup pouring out, where it's that final sacrifice. We've been faithful and fought the good fight, and poof, it's up, and we're in the Lord's presence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I desire for you. You need to give up your will to serve the Lord. And guess what? Your will holds on pretty tight. You've got to repent, and God will set you free.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give me some ways to begin to apply this message to my life today.
Well, Dave, first of all, we are to offer ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, acceptable, which is our spiritual service of worship. And indeed, when we recognize that when we give ourselves over to Christ and we are used for his purposes, that's where we're going to find true joy. And as we've seen today, the Apostle Paul gladly expended his soul for the Philippians, and within that there was great joy now and great joy to come.
So are you willing to gladly expend your soul for brothers and sisters in Christ as you abide and trust in Jesus? I pray that God will work in all of our hearts so that we will gladly give ourselves over to Him so that He will be glorified greatly.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.